here, ladies and gentlemen. There are noises. I'm hearing certain noises, like an ear up against a wall. You know the old days they put a glass on their ear and they put it up against the wall? I think they're listening. But this is my suspicion. I'm being very optimistic about this because I don't think they're listening in order to throw me out on my butt or condemn me. I think they're listening because they've never heard anything like this. Because this is a college, you know, it's an institution of higher learning, so they're probably Obama fans. I'm thinking that's generally the way it is. Liberal colleges have liberal politics. I know those words aren't generally related. Liberal, people are getting mad at me right now. Martin, don't get into politics. But I think that whenever you hear religion and politics, people tend to want to run, but they're overcome by a stronger emotion, and that is, what's this guy have to say? He's speaking words of wisdom. Let it be. Oh boy, this is Martin Zender. I might have to wear my sunglasses tomorrow. I might have to wear a disguise, so you might see me here tomorrow with my sunglasses. If so, that's why. I am incognito, you see. That's a foreign word, incognito. It might be Spanish. Maybe I'll do some research into that for you. On the other hand, I may not. Now, all right, back to my normal tone of voice. I'm going to speak with confidence because if I'm bodily removed from this building, it's only a resume enhancement. All right, political and religious vistas. You know, why should you fret and fume over the way things are going? Not that I don't do it sometimes. We all fret and fume over politics because you know that we have all the resources in our country that gas should cost $1 a gallon. It's ridiculous what we're paying. The government waste is unbelievable. And so the frustrating thing is mismanagement of resources that you know we have. And it could tend to frustrate the daylights out of you, literally make you lose your sleep and make you glued to talk radio, glued to Fox News or CNN to find out what's coming. I'm telling you, we need to be glued to Paul's Gospel and to Daniel. Because this world is being purposely driven headlong into the abyss, into a collapse. Our nation is going to be equalized so that it is part of a one-world community. And this offends those of us who love American exceptionalism. And I don't say exceptionalism in the sense of we're better than everybody else. It's the fact that America has helped the rest of the world because we have wealth, because we have power. You may argue, but we obtain that wealth, we obtain that power by dubious means. I'm not here to argue that point for or against. I'm just saying that we're generally a benevolent nation compared to other nations who are bloodthirsty, crazy people. Okay? It's just the way it is. Not that there aren't bloodthirsty sectors of our country. Yes, there are. The big picture here, what I'm trying to get across to you, is that I believe there are lesser evils, but that God's history, God's hand is in the movement of nations, and that the purpose is to drive humanity to the wall, drive it to the brink. We're going to have a one-world government. We are going to have a one-world government. In order to do that, America has to be brought down. Any country or nation that takes itself, that's the same, isn't it? That's a synonym, a country or a nation. Somebody get me a thesaurus. I need another word. A national entity? Yes. Okay. I could, a national entity, country, nation, thanks. Any country, nation, national entity, political distinction, group of people is going to have to be brought to the level, to the equal. And this is really what communism is. It's a bringing everything down to a common level. We're going to redistribute the power. It's not right. It's not proper that one nation should have all the power. So we're going to cut that nation down to size, and this is all part of it. And we see that, we don't like it because it's against what we're used to. It's against tradition. However, this has to happen, and God foretells it. It's in line with divine revelation. It not only predicts this coming world event of a one-world government, a one-world ruling body, a global currency, but it sets up this evil federation. It's going to be evil. It's going to look like a wonderful one-world government, but it's going to be an evil federation. And it's setting that up as the contrast of the coming kingdom, the coming federation, that of Jesus Christ. So worry kills more people than war, I'm convinced. And in order to prevent that, you need to see what's coming and be warned of it. And that's what we're going to do. So the era of Daniel, I need to point this out to you, from the genealogy of Jesus Christ in the book of Matthew. This is the scroll of the lineage of Jesus Christ. And I'm showing it to you in my scriptures, my concordant version on the Zendercam. I don't know how well the camera is focusing in on that. This is the first page of Matthew in my concordant version, and it's the scroll of Jesus Christ. And there's three parts to this. This is verse 2 through 16 in there. This is divided into three parts. You wouldn't know it unless you got inside information concerning it. And that's what I'm here to give you, inside information. It starts with Abraham. This traces Jesus Christ's lineage to Abraham. Whereas Luke traces it to Adam, we're tracing it to Abraham. Abraham begets Isaac, Isaac begets Jacob, and on we go. I'm not going to give you every single list here. This first section up to verse 6, God is king of Israel. There are no human kings. God is ruling among his people. He's a freelancer. He's not working the 9-to-5 job. Nobody voted him in. Nobody anointed him with oil. He just said, here I am, and he took over. Now, see, if I was in my own office, I'd be doing that with more vim and vigor. Here I am. I'd be putting on all these voices and affectations, but I'm just, you know, not feeling that free to do it here. Eventually, there could possibly be a large group of people with glasses to the wall, whereas all they would have to do is go to martincenter.com or YouTube to see this show. So from Abraham to David the king. Now, that he was the first king. Actually, Saul was. But David is the first one mentioned. Saul is not the lineage. He was not a progenitor of Jesus Christ. David was. So now starting with verse 7, we get to Solomon and Rehoboam, and these were the days of the kings. These were men as kings. The kingdom period, let's call this, from verse 7 to 11, the kingdom period. From verse 2 to 6, let's call it the theocracy. So we have the kingdom period through the Babylonian exile. Daniel writes during the Babylonian exile. As you know, the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, took Israel into captivity into Babylon. They were told to just go, live your life there. I'll be with you even in the foreign place. That's really instructive for us because we're in a foreign place under any administration, especially the Obama administration. Sorry if I offended you. And so we're being held by foreign kings. And Israel, as a nation, is being held by foreign kings. This is the thing with Israel. Get this, if you don't get anything else on this show. Israel is supposed to be the head and not the tail of the nations. Anytime Israel is not ruling, it's a weird thing for her because she was born and meant to rule. That's why Jewish people, here again, I feel so politically incorrect, in a place where political correctness is a prized commodity. Jewish people are good at making money. It's not a stereotype. Well, yeah, it is, but it's a stereotype for a reason. It's that they have it in them to be entrepreneurial, enterprising, and capitalists. There's nothing wrong with capitalism. And so Israel is very good at this because it's in her to run the world. And she will run the world, but now she's trying to do it apart from her Messiah. And this is the era she's in where God has hardened her. Daniel addresses the time of the deportation. All right, that has modern implications because Israel's still deported. And I'm going to make an analogy with us. I'm going to be bold enough to do this. And if you're listening against this wall, this is for you too. We're in a deportation. We are living in a foreign country under foreign powers. Any president, the best government in the world, we're foreign because why? It's on earth. We are not meant to be on earth. Our realm is inherent among the celestials. That's where we're going to go. And so I am out of place here, and you are feeling out of place here. Just like Israel felt out of place in Babylon. But what did God tell Israel in Babylon? One of the secrets of Daniel, going to be getting into it, is that I want you to prosper. I want you to thrive. I want you to do your thing, but you're in it, but not of it. We are in this world, but not of it. Israel was in Babylon, but they were not of Babylon. So that's the demarcation here between the second and the third group of in Israel's history, as we can see from this genealogy in Matthew chapter 1. Next begins from the Babylonian exile. We have Jeconiah, and starting with him, Zerubbabel, all these people, Eliakim. Now, these were not kings. They were rulers. Let's call them, I wrote this word down. Let's call them governors, shall we? I wrote this down in my book on Daniel. By the way, I'm basing these studies on A.E. Knox concordance studies in the book of Daniel. I didn't invent any of this truth, and neither did A.E. Knox. But this is such a good book, and it's so unknown that I am using it as a template, and I am riffing off of it. I am Zenderizing it. I'm adding my own insights, and I'm adding the benefit of modern news. A.E. Knox wrote this book in the 30s. I have access to later events that have transpired in this world that tend me to believe. A.E. Knox saw things that tended him to believe that we were in the end days. And the end days did begin, I believe, around the turn of the century. And now we are in the end of the end. And I think A.E. Knox, who in 1966, the year he died, or was it 65? 65, thank you, had himself wheeled out to the balcony of his home in East Los Angeles, California, to look for the return of Jesus Christ. This man who translated the scriptures knew more and wrote the definitive work on the book of Daniel and the definitive work on the book of Revelation. This man's looking for Jesus Christ in 1965. Was he stupid? No. It's that we were close then. How much closer are we now? Allow me to answer my own question. Very much closer. So from Matthew 1, verse 12 through 16, up to the coming of Christ, we have the era of foreign kings. We have the era of Israel being ruled by other nations, and that's very uncomfortable for her. And in the end of this era, all the nations will be gathered against Israel. It's called the Battle of Armageddon. But guess what? That battle is never fought. We're going to see that in Revelation. The nations gather, the nations plan, the nations plot. But Israel will not be wiped off the map. Iran wants to do it today. Russia wants to do it today. It will not happen. So you can stop watching the news to see Israel wiped off the map. She's not going to be. Even the false Israel, even those who are being gathered as tares to be burned. The false, the imposters, the posers, where the false temple will be built. Not even they will be wiped off the map. Not even in the book of Revelation. God is going to preserve a remnant. Possibly not in Israel, but scattered throughout all the other nations. Thanks for listening again. Martin Zender broadcasting to you live, at least I'm live, from Broward College in Davie, Florida, and I'll see you here again tomorrow with sunglasses.